From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, welcome back with me, Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segment to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with news.
Here is the news for the headlines. Bappenas and Indonesian National Library ready to hold webinar Awakening from Pandemic with Literacy. Indonesian Morocco relations must be encouraged much faster. Now the news in details. The Indonesian National Library and the National Development Planning Agency, Ministry of National Development Planning, will hold a webinar entitled Awakening from a Pandemic with Literacy on Wednesday, June 17, 2020, on the Zoom teleconference application, that will also be broadcast live streaming through YouTube of the Indonesia National Library. Director of High Education, Science and Culture of Bappenas, Hadiat, in a virtual press conference on Monday, stated that the level of literacy determines the capabilities of people to identify, comprehend, and interpret the information got to be transformed into productive activities.
Tentu memang diawali dengan menulis, membaca, memahami.
Of course, it begins by writing, reading, understanding, implementing, and developing. It is the most important thing. I think that innovative literacy and creativity need to be our joint efforts on how to encourage Indonesian people to continuously have the ability to be productive. So, it is the outline of the policy that Bappenas carries out in the relevant context to the workshop that Bappenas will do. The webinar on Awakening from a Pandemic with Literacy will be attended by some speakers that consist of Head of the National Library Muhammad Sharif Bando, Governor of Jakarta Anies Baswedan, Media Practitioners Helmi Yahya, and Regent of Magetan East Java Suprawoto. The webinar will also feature Minister of National Development Planning Suharto Monoarfa as a keynote speaker. The webinar will also be attended by around 1,000 participants that consists of representatives of ministries, institutions, regional governments, Bappeda and library boards, academicians, literacy activists, and general public. The Moroccan Alumni Association in Indonesia, HIMAMI, held an international webinar in commemoration of the 60 years of diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Morocco on Monday. Present as the keynote speaker was the Middle East Director of the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Ahmad Rizal Purnama. In his presentation, Ahmad Rizal Purnama said, Indonesia-Morocco relations in the future must be encouraged much faster. For this reason, he continued, there are a number of considerations including the two countries having to win in the war against COVID-19. He said Indonesia and Morocco must collaborate to ensure the need for medical devices is met to deal with the COVID-19 pandemic.
Indonesia and
Morocco must become a force to mobilize international support regarding access to equitable medicines and COVID-19 vaccine at affordable prices. At present, the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs and the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Morocco are members of the International Coordination Group on COVID-19. The Foreign Ministers Forum can be used as a vehicle to fight for vaccine for all, especially for developing countries. In addition to the war against COVID-19, the Middle East Director Ahmad Rizal Purnama said Indonesia and Morocco must also collaborate in combating economic slowness, supporting Palestine, and preventing Israeli annexations on Palestine, as well as strengthening multilateralism. The international webinars to commemorate the 60 years of diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Morocco also featured speakers, including the Indonesian Ambassador to Morocco Hasrul Azwar, the Moroccan Ambassador to Indonesia, Audia bin Abdullah and Ustadz Abdul Somad. The Indonesian Embassy in Hanoi, Vietnam continuously carries out its task of promoting bilateral relations between Indonesia and Vietnam in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic experienced by a number of countries in the world. If earlier before the pandemic, the activities of promoting relations between the two countries were carried out by the Indonesian Embassy in Hanoi, supported by institutions or ministries and related parties, this time the Indonesian Embassy is carrying out its task on its own with the assistance of the Indonesian people in Vietnam. It was stated by the Indonesian Ambassador to Vietnam, Ibnu Hadi, when contacted by Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta by telephone on Monday. Ibnu Hadi said, this was done because at present, there have not been any delegates and people visiting Vietnam.
Kalau bisnis ekonominya,
even the economy and business we facilitate, for example, there are Indonesian companies who want to export their products or marine products. We try to help them online, of course. And also there are Vietnamese companies who want to export some personal protective equipment, medical devices to Indonesia, so we look for partners. So we try many efforts even though it is limited because there are no delegates coming to Vietnam, no one is coming here. In addition to promoting relations in the economic and business fields, the Indonesian Embassy in Hanoi also actively promotes Indonesian cuisine, language, and culture in Vietnam. Ambassador Ibnu Hadi said that the Indonesian Embassy in Hanoi often holds Indonesian food cooking courses, Indonesian language courses, and introduces Indonesian musical instrument to the people of Vietnam. A team of 2,702 personnel comprising both Indonesian military 10E and Indonesian police Polri officials has been deployed at about 243 malls across Greater Jakarta that have begun to reopen under the new normal rules. As quoted by Antaranus Agency, spokesperson for Jakarta Metro Police Grand Commissioner Yusri Yunus confirmed on Monday that the joint team consists of more than 1,200 10E personnel and more than 1,400 police officers, and the guards will ensure visitors and mall tenants comply with the standard health protocols. Malls in Jakarta and surrounding areas were shut down in early April this year after the provincial government implemented large-scale social distancing measures in public areas to curb COVID-19 transmission. After more than 2 months, Jakarta is entering a transition phase and has begun imposing new normal rules amid the ongoing outbreak. Official data shows the city has recorded a total of 8,968 confirmed COVID-19 cases as June 15, 2020. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. Philippine journalist Maria Reza was convicted Monday of cyber libel and faces up to 6 years behind bars in a case that Watchdog says marks a dangerous erosion of press freedom under President Rodrigo Duterte. As quoted by AFP.com, Reza, 56, and her news site Rappler have been the target of a series of criminal charges and probes after publishing stories critical of Duterte's policies, including his drug war that has killed thousands. The award-winning former CNN journalist was sentenced to up to 6 years jail in the culmination of a case that has drawn international concern. It was not immediately clear how long she would actually have to serve if the conviction becomes final, and Judge Reynilda Estacio Montesa allowed Reza to remain free on bail pending an appeal. A defiant Reza told journalists after the conviction in Manila that her side is going to stand up against any kinds of attacks against press freedom. Burundi's newly elected president Evariste Ndayishimiye will be sworn in on Thursday. The foreign ministry announced in a ceremony fast-tracked by the sudden death of the incumbent Pierre Nkurunziza. As quoted by AFP.com, Nkurunziza died on June 8, age 55, of what authorities said was heart failure. According to a medical document seen by AFP, his death came less than 2 weeks after his wife had been flown to a Nairobi hospital for treatment for coronavirus. The foreign ministry invited diplomats and foreign organizations to take part in the inauguration ceremony in the capital Gitega, in a letter sent out on Monday. Ndayishimiye, 52 years old, a former army general and Hutu rebel, like his predecessors, had been handpicked by the powerful ruling CNDD-FDD to run in a May 20 presidential election. He won the vote with 68.7% and an opposition bid to have the result overturned due to alleged fraud was overturned just days before Nkurunziza's death. Colombia's largest rebel group, the National Liberation Army, ELN, has released 6 hostages, including 2 police officers and 4 civilians. As quoted by BBC.com, the hostages were handed over to members of the International Committee of the Red Cross, ICRC, and a rural area near the Venezuelan border on Sunday. The left-wing ELN had freed 2 other civilians on Friday. The releases follow appeals from the rebels for peace talks to be resumed. The government suspended negotiation with the group last year after a bomb attack on a police academy in the capital, Bogota, killed more than 20 people. President Colombia Iván Duque says the release of all hostages and the end of kidnappings and attacks are preconditions for talks. The group is believed to be holding at least 10 more hostages, according to the government. That was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitling Hopes for the Reopening of Malls and Shopping Centers. Some provincial governments in Indonesia allow malls and shopping centers to reopen starting on Monday. In Jakarta, at least 80 malls start operating again. Preparations have been made by the mall managers, starting from the entrance to the mall, temperature measurements, hand washing, and facilities with minimal touch. What is very important, of course, is the limitation of the number of people entering the mall. The provincial government of Jakarta has said that the number of visitors and employees who can enter at the same time is 50% of the mall's capacity. In addition, operational hours are also limited. Previously, most malls operated from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. During the transitional period of the large-scale social restriction in Jakarta today, malls are only allowed to open from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. For some people, the opening of malls and shopping centers has been long awaited. For them, visiting the mall after almost 3 months at home is like an entertainment and stress relief. But some people are also worried about the reopening of malls and shopping centers that may actually increase the number of people exposed to the new coronavirus. Indeed, on one hand, the number of positive cases of COVID-19 in Indonesia still increases from day to day. Government spokesperson for COVID-19 handling, Ahmad Yuryanto, announced on Monday that there were an additional 1,017 positive cases of COVID-19 in Indonesia. On the other hand, there are facts that are also worrying. Indonesian household consumption fell sharply due to the COVID-19. According to data from the Central Statistics Agency, the growth in household consumption in the first quarter of 2020 was only 2.84%, down from the same period last year, which was 5.02%. In fact, the household consumption is one of the components that is a major contributor to Indonesia's economic growth in terms of expenditure. In a discussion at the National Television Broadcasting Station, Chairman of the Indonesian Retail Entrepreneurs Association, Roy Menday, said that the opening of malls and shopping centers is not just physical. There is a multiplier effect of some retail operations again, including the micro, small, and medium enterprises, online transportation, and community business activities around the malls and shopping centers. Every policy has risk. The level of the risk depends on the manager who run the malls and shopping centers. It is expected that from the reopening of malls and shopping centers, Indonesia's economic growth will again increase. The laid-off employees can return to work. The micro and small businesses regain their markets, which in turn, this will increase the household consumption of Indonesian people. This policy is carried out by prioritizing safety and health. One key to its success is the readiness of Indonesian people with high discipline. Health protocols must be implemented. Hopefully, the reopening of malls and shopping centers will boost Indonesia's economic growth and not become a new cluster of the spread of COVID-19. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Do the following to avoid virus infection when you are traveling. Keep your distance. If you see someone unhealthy, please maintain your distance. The minimum safe distance is 1 meter, but if the person is coughing, then the minimum distance is around 3 meters. Wash your hands with soap, especially if you keep interacting with other people. You can also use alcohol-based sanitizer to kill the germs. Cover your mouth and nose with your elbow or tissue when you are coughing or sneezing. If you are using tissue, throw it away immediately and then wash your hands. Avoid direct contact with living animals and any surfaces that had contacted with animals. Avoid consuming raw or half-cooked meat to avoid cross-contamination. Find medical treatment as soon as possible and then share your prior travel history with the health services if you are experiencing any health problems. From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Today in history, we'll begin with what happened on June 16, 1908, Blasting War in West Sumatra. Blasting War is a war that occurred because of the arbitrary action of the then Dutch colonial government to the people of Minangkabau, West Sumatra. It was due to the application of blasting or land taxes that were contrary to the Minangkabau customs known for generations. Blasting War began in Kamang, then spread to other areas such as Lintau Buo in Padang, West Sumatra. This war was led by female fighters from Minang, Siti Manggopoh. She was considered very brave and persistent in opposing the foreign colonies of the Dutch East India government. Turning to June 16, 1963, Valentina Tereshkova becomes the first female astronaut from the Soviet Union to fly into space. Valentina Vladimirovna Tereshkova was born in Bolshoye Maslennikovo, Yaroslavl Oblast, Russia, on March 6, 1937. She was the first female cosmonaut from the Soviet Union and the first woman in the world to fly into space. She flew using the space shuttle Vostok 6 in 1963. Valentina Tereshkova was in space for 70 hours and 50 minutes and had traveled around the Earth 48 times. I'll end with June 16, 2010, Bhutan applies a ban on tobacco. The Bhutan Tobacco Control Act was passed in Bhutan by Parliament on June 16, 2010.
This law regulates the prohibition of planting, harvesting, producing, and selling tobacco and tobacco products in Bhutan. The law also mandates that the Bhutanese government provide counseling and care to facilitate the cessation of tobacco. Well, that was Today in History, from Indonesia to the world.
Seberapa besar rasamu, ku mau tahu seberapa dalam hatimu, ku tak ingin engkau ragu tentang rasaku ini pada. Ku tak ingin engkau jauh. Ku mau kamu, kamu, kamu selalu ada dalam hatiku. Ku mau kamu, kamu, kamu hiasi ruang rindu. Jangan
next, we are going to give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia. Today, entitling Indonesia Voices Mitigation of COVID-19 Impact at UNESCO's Executive Board Session. Ambassador of the Republic of Indonesia to France concurrently Andorra, Monaco and UNESCO, Arman Atanasir, participated in the virtual meeting of the 6th Special Session of Executive Board of UNESCO, which was held on June 8 to 9, 2020. On that occasion, Indonesia emphasized the important role of UNESCO in mitigating the impact of COVID-19 on the education, culture, science, communication, and information sectors. As published in en.unesco.org, Indonesia highlighted several points. Take, for instance, The UNESCO program must contribute to the mitigation and adaptations of the COVID-19 pandemic and new ways of doing business. On that occasion, it was also conveyed that in the Indonesian education system, Indonesia would implement a combination of physical presence and virtual learning as a complementary education system. As quoted by page kemlu.go.id, in the meeting discussing the impact of COVID-19 on UNESCO's methods and work programs, Ambassador Arman Atanasir said, UNESCO must also be able to adapt its work's methods so that they can work more effectively and productively while maintaining inclusiveness in the ongoing crisis. Indonesia has been a member of UNESCO since May 27, 1950. As a UN special body, UNESCO is in line with Indonesia's national interests, especially to create national interests in creating world peace and advancing public interest through development and cooperation in education, science, culture, communication, and information. In addition, Indonesia is currently holding a strategic position as a member of the UNESCO Executive Board for the 2017-2021 period. The Executive Board is the organ that determines the General Conference discussions agenda, the process of accepting members, and determining the future of UNESCO's programs. That was my Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusmawati.
Welcome to the new normal. Now, we are facing uncertainties. Uncertain of when the pandemic will end, and also many other uncertainties. Coronavirus pandemic has changed many aspects of our lives. If you want to survive from this pandemic, you should prepare to adapt and live the new normal. In the prediction of the new normal, health and hygiene became the top commodity. Fear of getting infected makes people keep their health and hygiene more tightly when going outside. There will be sinks everywhere. Hand sanitizer becomes the most wanted goods. People wear a mask everywhere. Always keep your distance when doing activities. And avoid crowds. Also, you should not make any physical contact, even just for shaking hands. Vitamins will be consumed as many as food. Before traveling, people will have their temperature checked and will not be permitted to proceed if found not healthy. Temperature will always be checked during social activities like at malls, restaurants, or everywhere. It's also possible, in near future, people must bring personal health document when traveling, or health tracking system at airports and other transportation terminals can be more practical and efficient. Well then, welcome to the new normal.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to let you know about Padungku traditional ceremony from Poso, Central Sulawesi. Mostly people in Poso, Central Sulawesi province are farmers. As farmers, their life cannot be separated with all activities in rice fields, such as planting rice and harvest season. In the harvest season, Poso people have their traditional ritual as gratitude toward abundant harvest. The traditional ceremony is known with the name Padungku. Padungku means finish. In this context, the farmers have finished harvesting their crops. Then farm tools such as ani-ani, plow, and rice grinder are stored at the granary. After that, the crops are cooked for their dishes at dinner party called Padungku. The dinner is conducted with a basic principle that young people serve the elders. To prepare Padungku ritual, all villagers are busy to provide all the needs for cooking, such as firewood, bamboo, rice with the best quality, and inviting all families to eat together. Meal together is usually held at village hall, where all people bring their own foods and share to other villagers. This procession is called Molimbu. Unfortunately, it is rarely done at present, because villagers conducting it together at their own homes. After that, the villagers visiting each other. During meal together, it is usually served various kinds of Poso typical foods, such as sago or dui, bamboo rice or inuyu, and baru. Inuyu is made of rice which is filled into a piece of bamboo and cooked by being burnt, while baru is a Poso traditional drink which is taken from sap of the palm tree. After having a meal together, Padungku traditional ceremony is continued with reciprocity between husband and wife. Then the excitement of event is continued by singing traditional song of Poso and dancing together. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
Dan ku takkan pernah berhenti berharap mentari kan bersinar lagi. Rubah tiap hariku, rubah sepi hatiku. Apa ini janji?
For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce to you some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to converse in Indonesians. Let's Speak Indonesia is a collaboration of Voice of Indonesia with the Language and Book Development Agency of the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Berapa harga makanan di sini? Or, in English, how much is the food price here? Next, I will give an example of a conversation on Berapa harga makanan di sini? Or in English, how much is the food price here? At the boarding house, Kevin asked Rama and Eko about the price of food around the boarding house.
Saya harus pergi.
Hati-hati, semoga selamat sampai tujuan.
Selamat jalan, sampai berjumpa lagi.
Terima kasih, sampai berjumpa lagi.
After listening to this conversation, I will introduce phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme, which is Berapa harga makanan di sini? Berapa harga makanan di sini? Which means, how much the food price here? I will say twice and you can repeat after me. Berapa harga? Berapa harga? Which means, what is the price? Roti bakar. Roti bakar. Which means toast. Berapa harga makanan di sana? Berapa harga makanan di sana? Which means how much is the food there? Kamu semester berapa? Kamu semester berapa? What semester are you? Sekitar 15.000 rupiah. Sekitar 15.000 rupiah, which means around 15,000 rupiah. Kamu mau makan apa? Kamu mau makan apa? Which means, what do you want to eat? Mungkin roti bakar. Mungkin roti bakar. Which means, maybe toast. Kamu bisa coba ayam goreng. Kamu bisa coba ayam goreng. Which means you can try fried chicken. Di sini. Di sini. Which means here. In the conversation, there is a question's word berapa. Berapa. Which means how much. In that context, the question word berapa is used to ask the price. The phrase berapa harga makanan di sana? Berapa harga makanan di sana? Which means what is the price of food there? Is used to ask the price of food around there. To answer it, you can immediately mention the price. If you are not sure of the price, you can use the word sekitar. Sekitar, which means around or roughly. Let's listen to this example. Berapa harga makanan di sana? Berapa harga makanan di sana? Which means, how much is the food there? Sekitar 15.000 rupiah. Sekitar 15.000 rupiah. Which means, around 15.000 rupiah. Berapa harga makanan di sana? Berapa harga makanan di sana? which means how much the food there. Kira-kira 15.000 rupiah. Kira-kira 15.000 rupiah, which means approximately 15,000 rupiah. Before ending Let's Speak Indonesian today, for more details, let's listen to an example of the conversation one more time.
Saya harus pergi.
Hati-hati, semoga selamat sampai tujuan.
Selamat jalan, sampai berjumpa lagi.
Terima kasih, sampai berjumpa lagi.
Well, listener, that was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know Indonesian better. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. We'll meet again tomorrow with another different topic. Thank you for listening.
Nanti kenangan dan harapan bercahaya di dalam hati, sejuta mimpi menjadi nyata.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today, we present a melody song entitled Bapadah Dolok Sampai Majinur Darlisanto. The song Bapadah Dolok was composed and sung by Majinur Darlisanto in Sambas Melo language. Sambas Melo language is used by people in Sambas region, West Kalimantan. The song tells a story of relations between children and parents. Through the lyrics, those who listen the song are invited to think what we should be done, especially to the parents who are really love their children. Hopefully, we also love our parents. The song had so sad lyrics with slow tempo music. The song Bapadah Dolok was released in 2017. Well, let's listen to Bapadah Dolok sung by Majinur Darlisanto. Enjoy the song. Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter @voiindonesia, and also send your email to voi@voinews.id.